Good morning. Welcome. Good to see you. Oh, isn't it a pretty day? The Lord has blessed us with a wonderful day. I want to thank Him. It's good to be here in this place of worship. Before we begin, let's look at a few announcements. You see those listed Mondays 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. The month of May, we're collecting change for the children's home. Next Sunday, we'll put that money together and send it in to support the ministry there to the children's home in Middlesex, North Carolina. Thursday, May the 22nd at 10, Bible study. Memorial Day will be the 26th on Monday, and choir practice the 28th at 6:30. Pam, you want to say something?
Oh, yes. I was reading with you.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to you a lot about praying as a congregation, and we had a leap day of prayer last year on leap day, and we had a prayer walk, and that's not enough. Praying is essential. Praying is essential. So, that being said, June 20th is the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. Doesn't have any more hours in it. It's just daylight longer. But so what I want to have is a summer solstice day of prayer. June 20th. It's on a Friday. I'm sorry that may be inconvenient. But I've got a sign-up sheet here. Every hour from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I'm going to sign up for 7 a.m. So that tells you how serious I am about this.
How about Johnny?
Johnny will be at a later date. Johnny will sign up at a later date. Anyway, my goal is somebody signed up for every hour. But now, if the hour you want to come is already, if there are 25 people here praying at one time, that's fine. There's enough room you can spread out and have your own prayers. I will have a list of things to pray for as far as the church is concerned. You have the back of your bulletin. I'll have copies of that here. And you have your own prayer list. So please sign up and come and pray. I want us to pray for the Holy Spirit to pour out on us individually and as a congregation, and to lead us to a passion for the lost, and the unchurched, and for us to spread the light of Christ and carry out our purpose to bring people to know Jesus, because that's why we're here. We can do all the other stuff we want to do, but if we're not bringing people to know Jesus, we're not doing our job. Anyway, I'll put this outside. Sign up for an hour, 2 hours. And Michael, may I use you as an example? The last time we had a prayer day, Michael said he signed up for 9 o'clock. And he said, there is no way I'll be able to pray for an hour. And he said the next person came up and he was still praying. So you can pray for an hour and it just go by. And Dennis and I found that same thing out. I was still praying when Dennis showed up, and Dennis was still praying when Michael showed up. So please sign up for June 20th, summer solstice day of prayer.
You going to say anything about children's
time? Oh, yeah. I'm out of it. There's also a sign-up sheet at the back if you want to go to visit the children's home June 14th and 21st. They're keeping open for us until I let them know which one. We'll leave about 10. And take us about an hour and 15 minutes to get there, and we'll tour the new buildings and see what they're doing, and then we'll, of course, eat somewhere on the way back. Thank you. Oh, and I'm supposed to have that today. Sign up today, because I have to let them know this week.
Do we have any other announcements?
Joe.
Yes.
The soup kitchen team served 139 yesterday, and it was pretty smooth, and we had people from 14 to some elders there.
Oh, elder, now I'm an elder.
I like to sleep late.
And I like to sleep late.
But it went very smoothly, and it was very interesting that at the very end, right about 12 o'clock, we had 5 pieces of fish left.
I think I've heard that story.
All right, do we have any other announcements? Let's begin worship. Stand with your bulletin. Let's read together the responsive reading. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.
Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory.
Lord, indeed we do praise and worship you this morning. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to your people, for hearing and answering our prayers, and blessing us with everything that we need to live a life of holiness and godliness. We acknowledge, Lord, that you do reign. Reign within our hearts and our worship this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to 433. We're going to sing all four verses of Rise Up, O Church of God. Thank you, baby. Seated. Ms. Linda Faye has our scriptures this morning.
Today, our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalms 148 from the New International Version. And this psalm, it starts out, praise the Lord. And that's what we need to say. This is a call for the universe to praise God, to praise the Lord for his creation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heavens. Praise him in heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun, moon, and all ye shining stars. Praise him, your highest heavens and waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. And he established them forever and ever. And he issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow, clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees, all cedars, wild animals, all cattle, small creatures, flying birds, kings of the earth and of all nations, princesses and of all rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel. The people close to his heart praise the Lord. Our New Testament reading is talking about a new heaven and a new earth. The coming of Jesus, our Savior, the new Jerusalem. All things will be made new. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, pain, for the odor of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and are true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jesus, for the power.
continue to worship as we pray. We remind you about the needs on the back of the bulletin. As you pray during the week, remember those, lift them to the Lord. Are there any names you need to call this morning?
Clarence Smith family. He lost his wife yesterday.
All right, Clarence Smith family. Any others?
Jason and Sharon Smith, and my wife, she's having a procedure Wednesday.
Okay. Any others?
Pray for our country and our husband.
Allison Whitfield.
Allison Whitfield, okay.
And a young middle schooler, Trey Shepherd, has just been diagnosed with cancer. He came to Big Hill, and his sister comes to Big Hill, and that family really needs some prayers.
Trey Shepherd, okay. Any others? We're mighty blessed. The Lord's been good to us. And I would say thank you for all of you that helped at the benefit on Friday. And my understanding was a good amount of money was raised. I don't know the specifics yet, but community really come together and serve together to help Carly. Let's all remember these needs and as we go to prayer. I'm going to ask Michael Gray if he would lead us this morning.
Turn to 688 in our hymnals. We're going to stand and sing the Mark verses of Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence with us today. You go before us, behind us, beside us, and most importantly, you are within us. Lord, I pray that you will bless these offerings today, that they may advance your kingdom, and that they may glorify your name. I also pray that our faith will grow in you, Lord, and that we get stronger in our faith in you every single day, and that it brings us closer to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand for the doxology, please. Be seated. Our text today comes from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read verses 15 through 17. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Everybody wants to be blessed, right?
Amen.
So what is it we are to do? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Our thought is, at your service. Just a few days before the crucifixion of Jesus, the Gospel of John records an interaction between Jesus and his disciples that defines perhaps more than any other scene in Scripture the kind of leader that Jesus is. The kind of leader he wants us to be. And how he relates to each of us, and how he expects us to relate to one another as well as the outside world. Jesus talked about this principle at various times in his ministry, and he had demonstrated it in a number of interactions with his disciples and others who followed him. But this story shows it best. This story, in fact, is quite radical in what it challenges us to do. Now, I know we're traditional. We don't like radical things. But now, this is radical stuff right here, okay? So hang on to it. It was the night before the Passover. It was Thursday night. And in church tradition, it's called Maundy Thursday. And Maundy is a Latin word for command. And on this night, Jesus gave his disciples a radical command to obey. And he said, you'll be blessed if you do these things, okay? Jesus tells us, or John tells us, what Jesus knew. He knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and return to the Father. And John says in verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now that took a lot of love. Huh? Took a lot of love because his love was not always reciprocated back to him. But he still loved, and he loved till the very end. John is saying that he loved them no matter what. It was a no matter what kind of love. And that's the kind of love we want poured on us, right? But sometimes we're not real quick to pour out that kind of love on others, are we? It's confession time. All right, it's good for the soul. A come what may kind of love. The kind of love that says whatever happens, my love for you will never die. Now that's pure love. Now what Jesus does next, no one could have anticipated. In fact, it would have been more likely for him to break into song and dance than to do what he's about to do. But he wants his disciples to know, this is what it means if you're going to follow me. This is what my followers mean to me. And this is what they do. So after the meal, John tells us he took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel. And when he got to Simon Peter, old Peter jumped up and he said, no, Lord, you ain't gonna never wash my feet. Well, why would Peter do such a thing? Why would he say such a thing? You know, he really wasn't objecting to the idea of having his feet washed. This was a common occurrence in their day. You know, when you entered home as a guest, for example, if you had a really gracious host, they would arrange for your feet to be washed. If he was very affluent, the host, they would even offer a servant to get down and wash those feet. Or some would just give you a bowl and a towel and just let you do it for yourself, you know. Here you go, wash your feet if you want to. Having his feet washed was not the problem. Peter objected to the idea of having his feet washed by one, the one whom he called Lord. Foot washing was considered low-level work. And because of open-toed sandals and dirt roads, people's feet in ancient culture were always covered, and I guess you could call it grime. They were always needing to be cleaned. Can you imagine if you'd walked to church this morning in a pair of sandals? Wouldn't it have been refreshing to sit down and have your feet washed? The act of touching a person's feet, literally and figuratively, the lowest part of the body, was seen as disgusting and considered to be the work of a menial slave. In fact, some slaves, those who worked with food, for example, were actually exempt from the task. It was considered such a disgusting thing. They didn't want them, their food being prepared by somebody that was washing somebody else's feet. In fact, some slaves, those who worked with food, they were exempt. Food washing was reserved for the Gentile slaves, female slaves, but certainly not for anyone with any amount of dignity or degree of honor. So maybe now you can begin to understand why Peter objected and said, Lord, you're not going to never wash my feet. No. And Jesus said, unless I do this, you'll have no part with me. You remove yourself from my blessing if you can't get this right. Verse 9 says, then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Just wash everything. I don't want to be excluded from your blessing. And afterwards, finishing washing their feet, he put on his outer garments and returned to his place at the table and said to his disciples, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now here's the radical idea. We're here to serve. That's our job. That's what we do. Church, in the final analysis of everything, our life, what it is to be about is serving others. Jesus tells a story about the sheep and the goats and how they were divided, and some were brought in and said, welcome, faithful servant. They said, well, what do we do? He said, when you serve the least of the brethren, it was the same thing as doing it unto me. Serving will be about what we do here as followers of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So we're in week three of a series called Between Sundays. We're talking about how to live the Christian life on other days of the week. We all know what to do on Sunday. We get up, we wash, we clean up, we put on our makeup, clean up, and our shoes, and we come and we sing and we pray and we give a little money and we know what to do, don't we? How about the rest of the week? That's the most important time, the most holy time in the life of a believer, as we leave out the doors of our worship facility and head out into the streets where God sends us. First week we talked about the principle of what? Reading the scriptures, how important that is every day. I hope you're in there. Last week we talked about what? We're going to have to get back to do next week again. Prayer, yes. And this week we're going to talk about serving. I don't know the specific details of God's plan for your life, but I do know this. It involves service. And everybody has an opportunity to serve someone. It's a 7 days a week opportunity. Isn't it great that part of our mission statement says that we're going to serve all God's people? You know what all means, don't you?
All.
It means all. So let's look at just a few things here about what it means to have the heart of a servant. Since it's so important, Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we have to have the heart of a servant. Three reasons why we serve. First of all, you serve because you love. John said, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. A couple of pages ahead, Jesus will say, greater love is no love than this, that someone would lay down their life for their friend. He's talking about sacrificial service. Sometimes we have to sacrifice things when we serve others, don't we? The first thing we have to sacrifice is serving ourselves. Because sometimes we want to be self-centered, don't we? And it takes sacrifice to be other-centered and to think about lifting and serving others. Jesus is wanting us to see here that serving one another becomes more doable when we love one another. That's why it's important to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Love is the why behind our service. You know, we serve because we love. The bigger the why, the easier the what. The more love that we have for our neighbor, the easier we know how to serve them. Amen? And this is what Paul told us we're to do. He says in Galatians 5:13, we're to serve one another in love. We serve because we love, which means we need to ask ourselves every day, what am I doing to help benefit others? What am I doing to help others find and follow Jesus? How can I be Jesus to someone today? How can I do something where others can identify that I'm a follower of Jesus? We can't kid ourselves into believing that we love others if we never go out of our way and serve them. Now, there's no shortage today of the lost and the marginalized and the vulnerable and those who are at risk. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what am I actually doing about it? We're pretty good at identifying problems, aren't we? But what we need to get really good at is offering solutions. Serving is a solution. The same apostle who wrote today's text also wrote a letter to the church some years later in 1 John 3:18. He said, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." And we can do this when we love others because we serve those that we love. And to refuse to serve is really to refuse to love. The second thing is, you serve because it's the right thing to do. You know, some things we do for various reasons. Sometimes we just have to say, you know, this is the right thing and I got to do it whether I like it or not. I got to suck it up, right? It's the right thing to do. It's not always easy, but it's the right thing to do. This means that you serve even when others don't fully appreciate or accept what you're doing. It means that you serve because of who you are, not because of who they are. It's interesting that Judas was among those whose feet were washed on Maundy Thursday night, and he soon would betray Jesus. Peter was there too, and he would deny Jesus. But Jesus still loved them. He still served them. He got down on his knees and washed their feet and taught them a valuable lesson. Verse 7, he said, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you're going to understand." Sometimes the good you seek to do becomes or will go unnoticed. It will not be acknowledged. It will not be appreciated. And if you serve others for the recognition you expect to receive, you're most of the time going to get disappointed. And you'll feel from time to time taken for granted or taken advantage of. There was a group of people working on a project together. One of them said something nice to another person, and he barely acknowledged it. So she said, "Hey, excuse me, I paid you a compliment." And the man said, "I heard it. What you want, a receipt?" Now, clearly he was wrong, and I don't recommend this model attitude here. But we need to remember there are people like him. So whenever you pay someone a compliment or whenever you serve someone, don't bother waiting for the receipt. It may not arrive. And this illustrates some of the challenges we face when we serve others. Sometimes you'll help someone and no one will never know anything about it. Well, that's all right. Sometimes you'll help them and they'll act like it never happened. Well, that's all right. Sometimes you'll help someone and they'll act entitled for more. That's all right, too. I mean, can you imagine Peter approaching Jesus the next day saying, "Excuse me, Lord. Look at my feet down there. A little dirty. You busy right now?" Don't laugh. These people will do that. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that doing all these great and wonderful things will make us a hero, but it won't. Because that's not why we're doing them. In fact, if what we do is unnoticed at all, is noticed at all, it'll soon be forgotten. But that shouldn't stop us. We're not doing this for the sake of getting good press, or we're not trying to build some brand as a kind of compassionate person that we really are, or to have our name and get engraved on some gold plaque somewhere. We help others, we serve others, because it's the right thing to do. Okay? It's who we are. Matthew 6, 3 and 4, Jesus said, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Brings us to the third reason that we serve. We serve because you serve because it gives you meaning. Your individual acts may go unnoticed or unacknowledged, but when serving others becomes a lifestyle, it will certainly make its mark on the world around you. It becomes your legacy. And more specifically, it makes its mark on you and me and who we are. It defines who we are. It shapes our purpose. It gives our life meaning. It makes life worth living. Albert Schweitzer is a great example of this. He was a brilliant man. He had earned a doctorate in philosophy and theology. He was a renowned organist, and he wrote highly acclaimed works on theology and philosophy and Christology and even a biography on Sebastian Bach. He had a promising career ahead of him in academia and teaching at universities, but instead of pursuing a life of prestige and comfort, he yielded to a deep conviction that a life worth living must be one of service. At the age of 30, he shocked everyone by resigning his teaching position and re-enrolling in medical school. Then he and his wife moved to Gabon, Africa, where he began hospitals and leper colonies to care for the sick and the poor. Significantly, he lived among the people that he served. He never regretted his choice. In spite of the hardships that he faced, his own health problems, physical exhaustion, financial challenges, he never regretted, because he believed that meaning is not found in success, but in service. This is what he said: "The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." And this is why Jesus said, "Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." So in conclusion, you serve because you love, and you serve because it's the right thing to do, and you serve because it gives life meaning. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave." You want to be great? Did you know God designed you and created you for a life of greatness? And did you know that everyone can be great? Because everyone can serve. It's a choice that we make. So Jesus finished washing his disciples' feet, and he said to them what he would say to us today: "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. In the lives we live between Sundays, may we seek to serve our Lord and Savior by serving one another. Seek to serve as you become a beacon on a hill, spreading Jesus throughout this community, helping others find and follow Jesus. Serve by making disciples with a goal to reach and serve all of God's people. Pray for opportunities to serve all God's people. And when the opportunity presents itself, simply reply, "At your service." Father, we thank you for your word and the example that Christ set for us. We thank you for his love that he showed and demonstrated to us. And that while we were yet sinners, he still served by giving his life. Help us to follow him, to follow Jesus, and to be his servants. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Turn our hymnals to 563. We're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of "Open My Eyes That I May See."
It's been good to worship with you today. Thanks for coming, bringing the spirit of worship. And as we depart, look for every opportunity to serve in Christ's name. I know there's a lot of prayer going on, and there's a lot of needs and a lot of opportunities to be Jesus someone. Anyone have anything to say before we leave? All right. Dennis, would you dismiss us?
Dear Lord, grab a hold of us right now and shake us so that we understand what Job's been talking about. Let us lead that life of service to other people. Let us not be ashamed to lower ourselves so that we do your work on this earth, no matter what you call us to do. Thank you for this day. The week is coming. Thanks for everything you do for us every day. Bless us now as we leave your house. Bring us back here again safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.